Just ask, man. Just this isn't going to be an awesome night. You know, how many of you have things that, man, you want to ask God, and maybe sometimes you wonder, you know, should I ask God, or maybe this is too big, maybe I need to ask him later, you know, or maybe I need to ask him when I'm, you know, I haven't messed up so much during the week, and then there's some weeks that go by, and you haven't messed up as much, like, I'm going to ask for more. Kind of God becomes just like Santa Claus, if you're good, you're bad kind of thing. And just ask. Tonight we're going to really just break this down, and I'm believing God's really going to help us tonight. Before we get into tonight's message, I'm going to pray, and we'll begin. Father God, I thank you for your spirit that is in this place. And God, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you, God, that you empower us to do great and mighty things. And God, I thank you that you're going to speak to the hearts and minds of your people tonight. And Lord, I thank you as this word goes forth, that God, it just transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, I want to also thank everybody for coming out tonight to midweek. I know May is kind of crazy for some people, and I believe that God really has special things for us on Wednesday nights, amen? And things that happen in here don't necessarily happen in here on Sundays. I mean, great things happen on Sundays, but God always does something awesome in here on Wednesday nights, and I'm excited about what God has in store for us. I'm going to turn your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 11, and there's a parable in which Jesus taught, and it's a very interesting parable. I think most of Jesus' parables were very interesting, but this is one that, to me, stands out more than most. And I'm going to start in verse 5, and this is what it says. It says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. This is what Jesus says. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. And you say to that person, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit and I have nothing for him to eat. And you say to him, verse 7, and suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are in bed. I can't help you. So Jesus is basically giving the story, first of all, of this man who comes to a friend's house, knocks on the door, and says, hey, I need some food, but it's midnight. All right, I don't know how you react if somebody came and knocked on your door at midnight and just started asking for stuff. I don't know if you would be bothered by it, but this is kind of what's going on. And let's read verse 7 again. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night and my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. Verse 8, but I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sakes, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Can you imagine? You're just there and you're just knocking. I'm not going away until you come down here. I'm going to wake up all your kids. All your kids. I'm going to ring the doorbell. I'm going to be out here all night long. This is what's going on. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 11. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, I want to focus really on the part, really at the beginning, when Jesus says, suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Can you imagine somebody showing up and saying, I need 40 bucks for some pizza? It's midnight. Now, Jonathan, I know we're good friends. And I know, hey, but you'd have to think, I'm not saying you wouldn't give me the money, but you'd have to think maybe there's something wrong with me. What is John doing here at midnight, knocking on my door, needing 40 bucks for pizza? And this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. You know, and I would have to say that most people would be pretty upset, especially, like I said before, if you woke their kids. You know when you get your kids down. I don't know if for those who have young kids, you get your kids down, and then one of those people that go door to door, and you open that door and you're like, whoa, What? You just woke up my kids. But this is midnight, and I, you know, and I'm sure our friend list would be pretty short if we had to think of people who not only would, you know, get up, but would not be upset at having to give us money at midnight. And, you know, maybe you can't think of a friend who might do that. But what I love about this story is Jesus says, you know what? If you can't think of a friend, there's good news because I'm that kind of friend. And this is what Jesus is implying. Jesus is saying, I'm awake all the time. Jesus doesn't have to put no kids to bed. I don't know if you know that or not, but Jesus doesn't have to lay down every night with a wife. He's not married. He doesn't have a family like that. He's awake all the time, and he's ready for you to ask what you want. And he doesn't get tired or cranky when you ask him for something. You know, sometimes I can get cranky when one of my kids asks me the same thing 100 times. Hey, Dad. 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 What? Every now and then, I get kind of like, what? And I'm like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. 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 Hey, Dad, can we listen to Michael Jackson? Hey, Dad, is there a new version of Thriller? But Jackson says, is there a new version of Thriller? I'm like, no. Is there a new version of Smooth Criminal? And so he wants you to know. And so I'm like, hey, Dad. So one time I said, Jackson, I don't want to listen. You don't like Michael Jackson? And so it just got, anyway, it was a mess. But anyway, Jesus doesn't get cranky. He never gets put out when we need something. And you know, Jesus was speaking of himself when he said, suppose you went to a friend's house. Jesus pointing to himself and saying, hey, just think about if you come to my house. I want you to know that I love you and I want to provide for your needs. Jesus saying, don't be afraid to ask me for things. Don't be afraid of seeking my will for your life and pursuing it. Don't be worried about asking me to provide for your material needs. So you always talk about, hey, God, oh, God, provide for my spiritual needs. But you know, God doesn't mind providing for your material needs. Now, I know there's some churches that oppose that, but they're boring people who don't know scripture, and they find like, well, we are satisfied and where we are today, and we don't need anything. Jesus wants to provide. Not just spiritually, but materially for your life. I mean, think of what Luke 11:11 says. Does a child ask his father for bread and the father give him a stone? Because the way Jesus preached, honestly, it's like Jesus is like a trickster. And if you ask Jesus for one thing, Jesus isn't going to give you what you want. He's going to give you what you need. Now, I understand the principle behind that, but basically they're making an excuse why you never get what you pray for. That's basically what they're saying. Oh, yes, we know you didn't get what you prayed for, but you really didn't need that. Yeah, I guess I didn't really need to pay my mortgage this month. I guess my kids are fine, you know. I guess high water jeans are in style now. Yeah, that's awesome. I guess, you know, cutting the toes of the shoes are cool too. You know, something fit, you know, kids can fit. You know, that's a praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow. You know, many times in my life, I think I annoy God with my small requests. And sometimes I think that maybe God's too busy. Maybe he's too important to bother with the problems in my life. I mean, why would God want to do something with the things in my life when there are problems much bigger than the problems that I have? But I think that's an endless tunnel. I think everybody in life can say there's somebody with a bigger problem. But see, God doesn't look at you and say, well, hang on. You're not, there's no line. It's not like who's next. God loves us all on an individual level. God cares for us all on an individual level, and no request is too small, and we got to quit thinking that somehow we're not good enough, we're not important enough, and we got to quit thinking and mistakenly believing that our requests give God some kind of headache. You know, the enemy loves to come along and say, you can't believe for that. Why would you believe for something so materialistic? Something that there are starving children. You know what? There's always going to be starving children. Let me just tell you, and there's always going to be problems in this world. There's always going to be somebody that you know, just isn't well off. So what the enemy does is he makes you to feel guilty about, well, since other people aren't enjoying this, you should not be enjoying this. And I'm telling you, that's condemnation, because God wants his children. I mean, if you study the Old Testament, God wants his, in the New Testament, God wants his children enjoying the benefits of his inheritance. And you should never be afraid to ask God for what you want. I mean, we don't serve a God who gets annoyed with our request. The Bible says that we are to feel free to come to him with any request and make as many requests as often as we wish. The Bible also says that he wants to give us the desires of our heart, give us good gifts. And let me tell you this, God is looking and longing for somebody who's waiting on him to be good to them. God's looking, man, for somebody to say, you know what? That person is waiting on me to be good to them. And God wants to be good to you, but you have to expect him to move in your life. And I ask myself this question, because I think a lot of people struggle with this. Why do we, as human beings, struggle to believe God for good things? Now, God has given us so many things. God has given us his son. God has given us healing, abundance. I mean, if you just study the scriptures, all the stuff, the inheritance that are ours in Christ Jesus, he's given us so much. So why do we stop and think that, like, hey, God, he just doesn't want to do it anymore? Why do we struggle with asking God for things? I think the main thing is, I think we have a hard time believing that good things can happen to us. You know, enough bad stuff goes on. We see enough bad things. And I think we kind of develop this mentality. What's the use? Nah. I know something bad's going to happen to me today. We don't have a problem saying that. It's easy to put faith behind that. You ever notice that? I mean, every day you wake up, I'm sure that most of us could say, hey, I know something bad's going to happen to me today. And we believe it because we know what's going to happen. But can we really wake up and say, you know what? I know something good is going to happen to me today. I think we struggle with asking God because we truly don't believe that God maybe wants to give us good things, or that, you know, we're going to experience good things. And I think another reason why we struggle in asking God for things is, like I said, the devil makes us feel guilty in asking for things. I think we have a poverty mentality when it comes to asking God for things. Now, the song that you heard in my video isn't something that I recommend you go and download or anything like that. It's by an artist by the name of Rick Ross, and the song is just called Bugatti. Now, I find this an interesting song because the whole song is about getting a Bugatti. It's a car, okay? I think probably if you didn't get all the options, they're probably run you about 1.3, 1.4 million. you know. But if you wanted some options, maybe $2.5, $2.6 million for a car. Now, people who don't go to church hear that song, they're like, yeah, I want a Bugatti. Woo! But we go to church, and it's like, I just want a new tie from Men's Warehouse. I just want a new tie from Men's Warehouse. Someday I'll have a Burberry tie. And that's how we just like, our expectations are like so like down here. You know what I mean? It's just like we don't, and I'm not saying, it's not about a Bugatti. It's about understanding that there's nothing wrong with asking for something that you want to have. It's not that that comes before God. It's just like saying, you just have to have the mentality that, you know what? Your desires, as long as they line up with the word of God, they're all good. They're fine. God isn't threatened by your desires. It's not like, well, wait a minute. Jesus, do you think he loves that more than me? I mean, you think God's insecure about himself? That's not how he is. And I think this is very important for us to understand. God doesn't have a problem with you asking for things, and God does not have a problem in giving you things that you ask for. You know, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. You know, there's honestly two things you have to understand when it comes to asking and receiving. And these are very important to pay attention to if you plan on asking and receiving. Because as much as I would like to tell you, it's just like an empty kind of canvas. It is yes and no, but there are things that the Bible speaks about in order to, hey, I'm going to ask, I'm going to receive. There is an asking, there is a receiving, there's a process. Two things you got to understand. Number one, you have to ask in faith without wavering. I'm not saying you ask in faith for 1.3 seconds and then you waver on the fifth second. Have you ever noticed like we ask and then all of a sudden something doesn't happen and then our faith, whatever. It's not going to happen. I prayed about it, but you know, it's probably not going to happen. You know, I ask God, you know, yeah, you know what? I'm believing for God to heal my body, man. Woo, I know he's going to heal my body, you know. But you know, if I die, you see what I'm saying? You see how we hopscotch? Faith and wavering. So we just play hopscotch, faith and wavering. That's what we do. Hey, man, I'm believing for God to help me sell my house. This house ain't never going to sell. You know, God, he's a good God, man. He's going to give me peace today. Oh, man, he's going to just give me peace in my mind today. By noon, it's like, yeah, I really don't think God is too concerned with my life. We jump, man, from faith to wavering. And the Bible says that you must ask in faith without wavering. Matthew 21, 22, Mark 11, 24, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Got to ask. In faith without wavering. Now, the second thing is, but you got to get that first one down. All right? Don't be all upset. If you're asking, I truly believe, Jesus said it. If you say to this mountain, be moved, cast in the sea, and you have faith and don't doubt in your heart, it will do what you say. Well, I've never seen that happen. Because I honestly don't think people can really believe that way. I think they can. I just think they choose not to. Second thing is, we must ask according to God's will. All right, so it's not like, hey, God, I have a business venture. I want to grow marijuana in my attic. And God, I believe that you're gonna help me. And you're gonna hook me up with the right sources and the right people, God.
And that, God, I'm going to get discounts on black lights. Black lights, I'm going to get discounts, God. And that, God, down in South America, you're going to help me to get free plane rides so that I can nourish the cocoa plant and move forward in other ventures. That's not God's will. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, you help me. Oh, help me, Lord. I love my wife. Help me to love other people, other women, to show them, because my love is too big to stay confined. Lord, you said you don't want us to be confined. And God, I pray, just as you love the world, I can love the women of the world. That's not what God's saying, man. Got to ask according to God's will. But what does it mean to ask according to God's will? Because if you're going to ask and receive, I think you need to know some guidelines of asking. Well, it's pretty simple. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So praying God's will simply means that we're in agreement with what his word tells us. For instance, his word tells us we don't have to live a life as a beggar. We don't have to live a life in poverty. We don't have to put up with sickness. The Bible also says we can have the desires of our heart. You know, Psalms 37:4, take delight in the Lord. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Now, slow up. Slow up. Not everybody's desires of their hearts are good desires. But see, that's the problem. We don't preach the truth because we always think of, well, if I preach that, then people... No, you just have to preach just like we've been teaching, that there are certain things that when you know God's will, when you are in relationship with God, I'm telling you, your desire is going to line up with his desires. Let me just ask you this question. I know I've said this kind of time and time again, but you know, if God is really for poverty, why aren't there streets of gravel? Why are there streets of gold? Why aren't preachers preaching against God? Because anytime you talk about like being blessed or just living in a place of, oh, let's say the cuss word in church, prosperity. Oh, no, not prosperity. We don't want to prosper. We want to die and be broke. That's what we want to do. But God, streets of gold. They forget that. Like gates of pearl. I mean, come on now. I mean, think about it. Jesus just has people around his throne just saying, worship the Almighty, the one who is and is to come. Worship. And I mean, why don't preachers preach against him? Why is he so into himself? Everybody around him telling him how good he is. Does he need that much support? I just don't understand. We don't really look at the Bible as it is. Your Abba Father is so good that he wants to give you your heart's desires. Now, could it be that we allow fear and doubt to short circuit what God wants to give us? I'm going to tell you that I let fear and doubt short circuit what God wants to give me. And I know that if I can short circuit with what God wants to give me through doubt and fear, I know you can do the exact same thing. You know, there are many religious people who do not believe that we are given permission to have desires or to follow up on those desires with faith and action. And what happens is many people feel selfish. You might be one of them. You feel selfish, you feel ungodly to admit a desire that might elevate you to a new level of success. Oh, I can't ask God for that. Can't ask God for that. You know what the root of all evil is? Being broke. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says money is the root of all evil. I understand what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying that when you're in love with money, that it completely clouds your judgment. But let me tell you this, and Ecclesiastes speaks of this many, many times. Solomon said, you want to know what the answer is in life for everything? Money. That's what he said. Now, here's my problem. 100% of the people that call and need help at Nexus, do you know what they need? They're not asking for prayer. They're not asking, we just want to know if you can unlock the door so we can come and pray for Nexus this evening. They need money. And let me tell you this, as long as the church suppresses what God says, hey, this is what advances my gospel, the gospel will never be advanced. Now, here's the thing. I think it's important for us to understand, because I've seen people get crazy when it comes to money. I've seen preachers lose their minds. I was in a church service one time, and the pastor put money all over the ground and had people come up and start rolling around in the money. Now, I brought a friend with me that evening, which I wish I would have never brought. He said, what's going on here? Because he knew I was the youth pastor there. And I said, I have no idea. Now, let me tell you this. Money can get crazy. Okay, you can take it to a whole nother extreme. But what I'm talking about is simply God wants to meet your needs. All right, if there's something in life that you would like to see happen, you can ask God. God's not going to rebuke you for asking. In fact, God is waiting on people who will simply ask him by faith and believe. And like I said, many people, they feel selfish, ungodly, to admit that, hey, they have these desires. But why is this? What are the roadblocks in our minds that keep us from asking? What are the roadblocks? I came up with a question that has really helped me, and I want to ask you the same question. If fear and money and time were no object, what would you desire right now? If fear, money, and time were no object, what would you desire right now? And you know, if you practice this exercise, you can begin to see how your mind begins to free itself up. Because our desires are often polluted with fear and doubt. And we can never really get in to what God wants us to do as long as fear and doubt and the lack thereof of money is at the forefront. Now, I have a rule. When I brainstorm or if I have the staff together and we're doing an idea, no one is allowed to say that's too expensive or that might cost too much or how will we do it. Those things are absolutely invalid, because once you cross the line of thinking that, oh, I don't know, we might not have the money, you are just completely limiting God to what he wants to do, not only in your life, but in my case, what he wants to do in this city. And you know, this summer, we're going to do a lot of different outreaches and we're going to do a lot of things for our community. And as I brainstorm and think about the things that God wants us to do, I can't sit around and think, well, man, that sounds awesome, but I just really don't know if we'll be able to do that. That's nonsense. Because the Bible says, if I just ask, that's all I have to do. God, I know you want me to reach this city. And God, I thank you for giving me $20,000 so that I can buy groceries for people in our city that don't even go to our church so that we can be a blessing to this community. Now, I don't know if you noticed what I said. I didn't say, God, I pray that maybe you'll help us get $20,000. I say, God, I thank you for giving us $20,000 because I know God wants to give it to us. So why would I even ask, like, well, if you want to? Last time I checked, I don't think God ever turned down a request for helping people. So I want to ask you that question. You know, what would your life look like if you took some time to hear what God might be telling yourself about maybe your level of faith, about your heart's desires? You know, maybe God wants to tell you, hey, you really don't believe for much, do you? Maybe God would say, maybe quit being so negative. Why don't you just believe me for good things? You know, if you're in here tonight and you're believing for a raise, don't sit around and be like, oh, Lord, I just pray that maybe I can get that raise. No, say, no, Lord, I thank you that that raise is coming. Oh, and I'm already making a list of what I'm going to do when it comes. See, that's faith. That's craziness. Making lists. Oh, people are like, oh, are you glad you got it? Or you don't seem too excited. Oh, I already knew I was going to get it. Thank you very much. I already had a list. It's amazing that when you have great faith that you don't get excited as the people who don't have much faith, because they're like, really? It happened? Wasn't expecting it. And I just think it's important for us to live this way. And the bottom line is, God wants to bless you more than you can ever imagine. And all he wants you to do is just ask. Just ask in faith, and you will see supernatural things happen in your life. Just ask. And I think if you would just start making a list or beginning to write down things, or however you do this, I personally like to write, and I make lists. Last night I was up after everybody went to bed, and I was just writing things. And you know my favorite thing to do, one of my favorite exercises, I don't even know if it's a real exercise, but I call it writing without limits. And I just begin to write, and I don't really think if this is logical or not. And I just begin to write and think of just the craziest things. And it's like, I'm really, the exercise is to free my mind to believe for what God wants me to believe for. Because oftentimes, I really can't believe for what God wants me to believe for because I'm confined to logic. And I'm confined to what ifs, or I'm confined to fear. But I say, God, this is, you know, I just start writing. And I challenge you to do that, and your life will begin to open up greater in faith, and you'll expect more. I mean, how amazing and exciting would life be if we expected great things every single day? And quit putting your faith in, is God going to let me down? Everybody loves to put their faith there. God's not going to let you down. And you can just, I'm telling you, man, Lisa and I, we continue to just speak great things. And I'm here to tell you that great things will happen. And there are going to be times in life that, you know, things happen you don't understand. Let me give you a word of advice. Just move on. And just keep believing for great things. Don't let the experiences of life dilute your faith into believing for great things. And I encourage you tonight to simply just ask. Whatever your heart's desire is, just ask and watch God perform it in your life. Amen? Bow your heads. Father God, we thank you tonight that we can just ask, simply just ask. And if we have faith and we don't waver, and God, we know your word, we know what you desire for us, and God, you're just waiting for us to ask. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that your people begin to understand this principle, that they begin to walk in a new realm of knowing their privileges and knowing their rights and not being confined to fear and time and money, but dreaming bigger than they've ever dreamed before and thinking greater dreams and thinking greater thoughts than they've ever thought before. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing in our lives. And that, God, we're going to continue to ask, because, God, we know that you're a God who desires to continue to give. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.